In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. First of all, I want to greet all of you, those of you who are here, and those who are participating through the live stream. And obviously, it's very difficult for all of us, and I can tell you from the depths of my heart that I miss all of you deeply, and I welcome all of you who are visiting, and may God bless us all. Today is the Sunday of St. Mary of Egypt, which is one of the most remarkable, her life is one of the most remarkable lives of all of the lives of the saints, and truly moving and beautiful. And today the gospel which we have from Luke, it's an amazing gospel. And in it we see that there's Simon, who is a Pharisee, and very strict about keeping all the details of the law. And he invites our Savior to come to his house. And our Savior came to his house, and he greeted him, of course. And then a woman came in who was known to be a great sinner. And she came into the house, and Simon protested her presence. And our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ remarkably and very beautifully rebuked Simon. And he said, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, and this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, because she loved much. But to whom little is given, the same loveth little." He said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And this is, I think, this gospel, of course, is appointed by the Holy Fathers as a prelude to the consideration of the life of St. Mary of Egypt. And we all know that the life of St. Mary of Egypt involves two primary characters, the elder Zosimus, and then, of course, St. Mary of Egypt. And we know that what's amazing is the elder Zosimus was from birth, and very early, even in his childhood, he was a zealot pursuer of life in Christ and sanctity and holiness. And it says, according to his life, he was born in 467. And he entered monasticism when he was 10 years old. And for 51 years, he struggled continuously as a monk and became a spiritual father. And so it is that after all of his struggles and his keeping his obedience with exactitude and with great zeal, and then becoming a spiritual father, he began to have thoughts. And the thoughts were that how could it be anyone else that could teach me? Is there anyone else that I could learn from and to show me a more complete asceticism than I have accomplished? And these are the words that is there a man to be found in the desert who has surpassed me? And obviously, I think it's very self-evident right away, after all these years, at the age of 57 years old, and having such success in spiritual life, the elder Zosimus fell into pride. And you could hear that. When he starts wondering, is anyone more holy? Yes. This is the voice of pride. And it's amazing, though, because he had, in fact, lived a holy life, and he had given everything that he could in his context, at least to the degree that he could understand it. And so he was honored by God, and an angel appeared to him. And he said, Zosimus, valiantly have you struggled as far as this is within the power of man. Valiantly have you gone through the ascetic course. But there is no man who has attained perfection. Before you lie unknown struggles greater than those you have already accomplished, that you may know how many other ways lead to salvation. Leave your native land, like the renowned patriarch Abraham, and go to the monastery on the river Jordan. And so it is, Zosimus, the elder Zosimus, went to his spiritual father, and he got a blessing to leave the monastery, and he was led by the Holy Spirit to a monastery which remains nameless on the bank of the river Jordan. And there they had a rule in the monastery where when Great Lent began, the fathers would celebrate and sing the vespers of forgiveness, and they would greet one another with a kiss, as we continue to do in our holy tradition. And then they would take just a little bit of food and they would go out into the desert, leaving behind just three people to keep the services going. Very interesting, just a few people to keep the services going. This is reminiscent of we are just a few people keeping the services going here. But nevertheless, they would go out into the desert, and there they would pray and shed tears of repentance. And the elder Zosimus, being the true zealot that he was, walked for 20 days, praying continuously and unceasingly, walked 20 days in the desert, knowing, of course, he needed 20 days to get back. And when he got into the depths of the desert, he met Saint Mary of Egypt. And this, of course, we know this life, but it is such an amazing thing. And here she was, almost like a shadow, walking across the desert floor as though she were being swept by wind. And the eldest Zosimus saw her and realized that this was really a living being, and he wanted to speak with her. And of course, there she was. She had been in the desert for 40 years already. And she was naked. She told the elder Zosimus, please just leave your outer garment, your rasa, on the desert floor so that I can take it and cover myself. And this is what he did. And he began to realize her holiness and began to question her about things. And she spoke to him. And she knew him by name. He did not introduce himself, but he knew him by name. And immediately he was, how does she know my name? And she knew where he came from, and how does she have this information? And she knew about the monastery where he was now a monk on the River Jordan. Again, how does she know these things? And everything that she spoke by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he was amazed because her words, although she would describe things, her words were clearly composed of thoughts and feelings and so on, and words from the New Testament. And he said to her, have you read the New Testament? Have you read the Gospels? And she said, no, I haven't. I have no books here. How do you speak this way in the words of God? And she told him that the Word of God is a living reality for those who appeal to our Lord. And so as she appealed to the Lord in her profound fasting and her continuous prayers, the Word of God was made known to her. And the elder Zosimus was just truly and completely amazed by this. And he asked for her blessing, and then she said, you're a priest, you bless me. And back and forth, bless, you bless, no, you bless. And no, you must bless me, the elder said, you must bless me. And so Mother Mary blessed the elder Zosimus. And then she asked that they pray. And so here they are, they're in the middle of the desert, and Yelda's Asana is kneeling down and prostrate on the desert floor and praying. And he realizes that it's been a long time that this woman, he doesn't know her name, that was praying. And he looked up, and there she was, four arms distance, probably 2 feet off the desert floor, praying to our Lord. And in this realization, he knew that he had found an angel in the flesh. And of course, he thought of her, of course, in very pure and holy terms, which of course she had achieved. But then he begged to know who she was, and she told him her life. That at 12 years old, she was born and lived in Alexandria of Orthodox Christian parents. And at 12 years old, she had left her home, and she had gone into the city and given her life to prostitution, to debauchery. And then she says she continued in this unseemly life for 17 years. And then, after 17 years of total sensuality and worldliness and drinking and reveling and so on, she encountered one morning a group of people going to the docks in the city of Alexandria. And she was attracted to them. So there's something about what they were doing that drew her to them. And she went and asked, "Where are you going?" And they said, "We're going to Jerusalem to the feast of the exaltation of the precious and life-giving cross." And so she could see their joy and their excitement, and she wanted to become part of their party. She said, "Well, can I join you?" And they said, "Well, you have no money to pay." And she said, "Well, yes, I do." And so she entered into the group and then paid her way by her continuing her profligate life. And she paid her way through prostitution and seduced many of the people in the pilgrimage. And you hear this and you go, "Wait a minute, this is how is this possible?" And nevertheless, God allowed it. And it is a great mystery. And so she then got to Jerusalem and in the streets of Jerusalem, waiting some days for the Feast of the Exaltation of the Precious and Life-Giving Cross. She continued her prostitution. And she continued her life of wantonness. And then the feast came, and she could see people were going to the church. And she joined them. And when she got to the church, she realized, and tried to enter, she was blocked. So there was just this invisible shield. Others were going through and entering the church, but she would try, and she tried, and she tried, and she tried to the point of exhaustion to enter the doors, and was not allowed. She was blocked by the Holy Spirit. And then she leaned against one of the pillars of the porch of the church, and there above the doors was icon of the Most Holy Mother of God, and she looked up at the icon of the Most Holy Mother of God and made a vow that if she were allowed to enter the church and reverence the precious and life-giving cross, that she would dedicate herself to a life of prayer and fasting and a life of faithfulness. And then her strength came to her, and she got up again, and she was able to enter the church. She venerated the cross, and then came out of the church, wondering what to do. And she was led by the grace of God to a church on the banks of the River Jordan. And there she confessed her sins and exposed her whole life to the priest of the church. And she washed herself in the River Jordan and renewed her baptism. And then at that point, there was a little boat on the side, and she took the boat and went across the Jordan River and entered into the desert. And there she spent the rest of her life, so many years, 40 years, of just absolute destitution, eating little herbs and things that she found in the desert on the sides of the rocks, and living this life of near starvation, praying continuously to God. And she told the elders, "Awesome, yeah, I wonder, how did you survive? How did you possibly live here?" And she just explained it. By God's grace, He led her to just the little that she could possibly find and the little she needed. And she told him that for the first 18 years, which is exactly the time that she had been living in Alexandria in prostitution, for 18 years she battled continuously with the demons. And she would battle to the point of exhaustion and fall on the desert floor, just unable to lift herself. And then the light of Christ would come upon her and give her peace and give her rest. And then she would rise up again and go about things. And then again she would be attacked. And she endured this for 18 years. And there she was before the revealing herself to the elder Zosima. And of course he saw in her a holiness that he did not in fact achieve. And this is, I think, the point. And if you go back to the gospel, we have Simon the Pharisee, who obviously kept all of the law zealously and was considered very righteous in the law, who was unable to find to accept the sinful woman into his company. And yet our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ not only accepted her but blessed her and freed her from her sins. And so it is that Mother Mary, in the image of this gospel, was freed from all of her sins and sanctified and purified to the point where she was an angel in the flesh, standing above the desert floor. And I think that for all of us, these two lives intertwine, the life of Elder Zosima and the life of Mother Mary of Egypt, intertwined as they are, are two poles, as it were, of our potential for sinfulness. On the one hand, living a very righteous life, as the elder Zosima did, and doing things exactly the way it should, and always doing more, and actually reaching quite a height of piety to the point where people came to him asking his spiritual guidance. And yet, deeply hidden within his heart was the sin of pride. And it's amazing how the sin of pride can just be deep, deep, deep in the heart as people go about, as we go about, trying to do good things and so on. And yet then, in opposition, Mother Mary, who lived her life in profligacy and prostitution for 18 years, and then through repentance and through the love of our Savior that she had discovered in venerating the relics of the precious and life-giving cross, entered into a repentance that was so great that it literally turned her into an angel in the flesh. And I think what's so beautiful about it is, in this spectrum from the Elder Zosima to the Mother Mary, we should be able to find ourselves, as it were. I mean, from pride and righteousness to profligacy on the other hand, and yet, and understand that that she presents, in a sense, one of the greatest images of opportunity and the greatest images of finding salvation. And brothers and sisters of Christ our God, there is, no matter how far we may have fallen, no matter how sinful we may have been, we must remember that through repentance and through the love of Christ and through participation in the mystery of His Holy Church, and that we, that each and every one of us, can be forgiven and we can be purified. And here, Mother Mary, an angel in the flesh. Now, I don't think we're going to probably become angels in the flesh in our lifetime, this gospel is for us. It's encouragement, and it gives us this full spectrum of possibility for repentance, from pride to profligacy, and that we give thanks to God for this great mystery. and for this joyful opportunity, and to understand, come to the Holy Church, come to the feasts, participate in the things of God, because God welcomes you from whatever place you come. He welcomes you and will lead you into prayer, into repentance, into salvation, that together all of us may experience the joy of the precious life-giving cross on Holy Thursday, and that we may experience the joy of the lamentations of the burial of Christ, and then finally that we may share in and experience the resurrection of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ in the very depths of our hearts, and that our flesh even may be aflame with his love and sanctify us thoroughly and completely. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.